Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to the Round 6 Super Footy Podcast. Another huge round of footy, although some people, Sammy Landsberger, not as enamoured with the game as others. We've got today Sammy Landsberger, as I said, and Johnny Ralph. Say go to you first, Johnny.
Hello, Mick. I've got a Richmond fan. I spoke to him recently and he said something like, they're all playing for second, Ralphie. And that Richmond fan might have the initials of Mickey Warner.
Oh, no. That's a silly comment. But what a fierce contest as we say hello to you, Sammy Landsberger. That was at the MCG. Both sides coming off short breaks, 4 and 5 days. But the first half in particular was like a final.
Well, we already know about Richmond. I look at the scoreboard. Was it at Etihad Stadium today? So I haven't seen it. I want to know about the Pies. It looks on the, you look at it and you say 46-point loss. Are they 8 goals worse off than Richmond?
No way.
Are they contender this year? What, how were the Pies?
Also, they were outstanding. Mm. And then I think they were a victim of a short break. I know they had a little bit more or less time than Richmond. And they lost two players in Aish. And who was the other one?
Well, Maynard went off for a while, and then Reid really late in the game.
It was a factor, I reckon, with the rotations. They're not as good a side as Richmond, but they're going to play finals.
Final footy? Can they push top four based on today?
I think if they bring back Wells, they bring back Elliott, and also Darcy Moore, they were really impressive today. But, you know, what do they have, 91 hours break?
91 hours, not a lot,
so I think Collingwood and Melbourne have both been smashed by the Tigers. I don't know, we have a bit of fun about how impressive they are, but you think, oh, God, that was a belting. But then their form in subsequent weeks at times, you think, they're just really good sides, and Richmond right now is an outstanding side.
Yeah, they took, I mean, Rance and Martin were non-events in the first half, really. But Martin's ended up with 29 disposals, kicked the sealer, and he said it wasn't one of his best games. For others, it would be the best game of their life. Rance got into it slowly. Cochin was magnificent. Although he did come off late, hit the goalpost, and
he looked a little bit proppy.
He had to go and see the doctor after the game. We had him lined up for an interview on AW, which he couldn't do. So keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, just on statues, Kevin Bartlett, I think, was that the last MCG statue? Last
for a Richmond
anyway.
Person.
They need to put a statue of Jeremy Howe outside the MCG.
Because we're
talking for his hang time.
You know, to qualify for those, mate, you got to do more than take a few hangers.
No, stuff that. He is bringing joy into the households of all Collingwood fans and all AFL fans.
He's
he was amazing again
about
today.
This? Is this and a the serious... Best,
no, absolutely.
There will can't be a, even, can't even will take be, Mark of the Year.
There will be... he takes Mark of the Year. He just doesn't get judged on Mark of the Year. There will be a statue of Jeremy Howe outside the MCG. And not only that... He's playing
a headline.
Well, he was a third man off. He was an interceptor. He was taking hangers. And right now, he's playing tight defence and still took two Mark of the Year candidates. He's a freak. We might talk about ugly football in a second, but he brings a lot of joy to football.
It's been a great pickup, but I'm not sure he qualifies for a statue. But he almost knocked himself out with one of his attempts. Just quickly on the Tigers, it was Dimmer Hardwick said before the game, it was hard to drop two premiership players in Ellis and Townsend. They've really got... not only the top-end talent, but the depth going for them.
And Brandon Ellis had a record streak going. I think he was second only to Zach Tui in the competition. And it just shows that, you know, that amazing chase down right at the end of last week that everyone from Nick Rewald on sort of lauded. And yet the coach just goes, sorry, mate, you're not at the absolute peak of your form. I mean, it's so long away, the premiership, but you just can't see how they won't finish top four. And from there, you play MCG finals. Such a strong start to the season.
That's what stood out watching them on Anzac Eve. The Stars were probably a little bit down for their standards. Kane Lambert clearly best on ground. So many other depth players step up, and they just defend the MCG so well. I think, you know, they've won 12 or 13 in a row there. I think their average score against is about 10 goals. So very, very hard to beat at the G, which is pretty ominous come finals.
And just the last word on the Tigers. I mean, they've won so many games over the years, and yet they just seem to lose games from anywhere at times. Mm. Now they've got the belief. You know, they were 19 points up at one stage. Stevenson kicks a long goal, 7 minutes left. That was the kind of time last year where, Mickey, you'd be petrified, and yet they just...
the last 37
minutes. Dusty just goes bang. You know, the shot glass celebration to his New Zealand stunt rider. You know, they're having fun. They're playing great footy. They're doing, you know, they're doing good things for the AFL.
And well done to the Pies, who could have easily sacked their coach, but they didn't, like they Tigers did with Hardwick. And he really seems to have changed their game plan, copying Richmond maybe.
Yeah, lots of handballs from halfback. you know, retaining possession, you know, mobile forwards. You haven't brought the likes of Alex Vassallo in. We know Chris Mayne got a game today, but yeah, he's revolutionised the game plan. I don't know whether it means that we were mistaken to say that he should have been sacked.
Did you say that?
No, I have felt all the way through that he just consistently wasn't getting the most out of them. So, you know, any other one but Nathan Buckley in that position would have been sacked. But maybe, you know, they hired him because he was Nathan Buckley, so they just said, come hell or high water, he will have success and we'll just keep re-extending him.
Well, they've got Brisbane next week. They should win that. They'll be back in the 8. They've just slipped out of it. Now, Sammy, you were at the other game today, which
yes.
was the two losers of the Anzac reverse fixtures, Essendon and Melbourne. What the hell was going on there?
That first half was as bad as footy as you could wish to ever see. It was awful. It was error-riddled. It was, I think at one stage in the second quarter, there were three out in the fulls in a row, one from the other. And then that was ended by Jake Lever, who kicked it out in the full, but the ball actually never crossed the boundary line, so it was a throw-in. That's how embarrassing it was. Melbourne flipped the switch in the second half and left the Bombers in their wake. The Bombers were ordinary for four quarters, but yeah, the standard of footy right now is pretty low across the board.
We'll talk about that later. Okay. Let's focus on the Bombers first.
Ugly. Joe Danaher, a shadow of his former self. Doesn't look like he can read the flight of the footy. Struggled today. Didn't kick a goal. 7 goals for the year. So many players down. I think Dyson Heppel only 11 kicks. Only 40 inside 50s. Every part of the ground, there were weaknesses today. That's 4 losses out
for
of 5.
For a team that some picked for the flag, we can cross that out now, can't we?
We won't mention names, so. David King.
Mickey, there are others, Mickey. Though. We're others.
Ranger. But the reason why we thought they'd be so good is you look at people like Joe Danaher. So he kicked 65-39 last year. You think, this bloke is set for 80.
65, and, did he?
Yeah. And a lot of those points were early in the year. I think he kicked 1, 6, or 7. He was a star of the competition. He signed a new contract. He's doing everything right. He's going to kick 80. He's kicked 7 goals, 9. Now, Mick, we walked in here and you said that we need to provide our busts of the year so far.
No, I didn't say that.
A quarter of the way in. So, Mick, I just do what you tell me. Joe Danaher is my bust of the year. 7 goals, 9. That's effectively a goal a game.
Well, he's on a big contract.
Now, you've asked the coach today, is he injured? So what's the response?
Coach said he'll get through it. He can't question his work rate, working as hard as he possibly could.
Injury?
No injury, doesn't look like. I mean, he covered the ground well. He actually got to a contest at fullback in the second quarter. Looked like he would just gobble it, an easy mark, completely misjudge it. So he is covering the ground. He got up the ground quite well, but he's just horribly out of form. Interesting, the coach said after the game that he was at a loss. He could not explain that the third quarter. Said we were sitting in the box asking, where is the intensity gone? Yeah. What has happened? So when your coach is sitting there, you know, lost for answers as to why the steep drop-off. They've lost every third quarter this year. Today they're outscored by 37 points after half-time. It looks like a mental thing. It's perplexing. You make finals last year, you add Stringer, Saad and Smith. You've got a nice emerging group, and it looks like you're going to go backwards pretty steeply.
Yeah, 2-4
massive
with a
concerns.
Pretty ordinary percentage.
Mm. Credit to Melbourne, though, because they never used to win there ever, and the loser of this game was always going to be under intense scrutiny, although you're saying not a great performance.
I'll correct you there. Melbourne's won 4 of the last 5 at Etihad,
okay.
Lost 4 of the last 5
at
the G.
What about before that?
Well, they've turned it around.
Mick, I believe it's called 16, stats abuse.
16 in a row.
I think Etihad suits Melbourne now. I think that is they play better footy there than the G. They're facing Kilda at Etihad this Sunday. I reckon that is where they play their better footy. Wow. That was sensational after half-time. Jake Lever, back taking intercept marks. Oscar McDonald all over. Joe
Tom
Danaher.
McDonald, really important.
Tom McDonald straightens up. He played all over the ground today. And they've got this new look forward line. Bailey Fritsch, Mitch Hannon, Charlie Spargo. Who had heard of them at the start of the year? Worked really well today. Jesse Hogan got a knock to the knee. Meant he had to play deeper. Again, it works. So Melbourne firing on all cylinders.
You're back on the D's.
And they've got a bloke called Max Gawn who was unstoppable.
What happened
in
with that crowd incident where he was abused?
So basically the bloke got right in his face as he went to kick the ball up, having been given a free kick right close in the pocket. The guy carried on like the greatest pork chop of all time. Now, you pay your, $25, your $30? That doesn't give you the right to abuse anyone, let alone a player out there. He made such a fool of himself. And I'm sure he's a hero now. His mates are tweeting him going, look at you, mate, you got on the TV. It was a total embarrassment. I'm not saying they should kick him out, but maybe they should just put him in the back row for a little while and just say, mate, have a good look at yourself, mate. Now, before we get off Melbourne, you've made me put my stones on the line. Your busts of the year and also your buy of the year or your star player of the year.
Bust, I've got a bloke that's not playing, and that is Alex Vassolo. He has fallen off a cliff. He's out of contract at the end of the year, and it spells trouble.
Can't get a game.
Well, Nathan Buckley said right before round one, the only reason he's not in the selection frame is his training intensity. It's just not up to standard, and we won't even consider him until he lifts that up. Now, they've got Taylor Adams out, Jamie Elliott out, Daniel Wells out, Ben Crocker goes out this week. Who comes in? Chris Mayne. He looks like he's a long way down the pecking order.
Yep.
It's really is a crossroads for Alex Vassolo, who's been a staple for a long time.
Mickey?
I'm going to say the bust of the year is the AFL's respect and responsibility policy.
I like it,
Ralphie,
Mick.
Because we will talk about that later.
No, let's talk about it now. Let's talk about it now. Look, Mickey, you and Stephen Drill have reported this story. And so, look, there's a lot of supposition and it's understood. And sometimes you get confused.
I just
want to ask you.
Not from us.
In other papers, it's understood. We understood a lot of things from The Age on Sunday, except not really anything else.
What we did learn from that was that the AFL was clearly doing the ring around after Gil McLaughlin's what could only be described as a train wreck press conference, because it was widely reported, stronger in other quarters. I saw ABC went hard saying that McLaughlin endorses hush money. Yep. Now, others didn't quite interpret it as that strongly, but it is hard to... what's the word I'm looking for?
Let me ask the question.
Fathom what he was saying. Clearly, some sort of settlement or a financial payment is acceptable.
So was he saying? Was he condoning hush money?
He wasn't condoning it.
Was he ruling it out? Was he ruling it out and saying hush?
Well, he certainly didn't deny that there'd been a payment in the Fremantle instance. Now, that it got picked up by others and sort of was a runaway train. But there's no doubt the AFL was... Our own Mark Robinson got a call. The Age clearly got a call because they had a lot of detail about it. But when you compare it to the Powell Pepper thing, people are within their rights to start scratching their heads and say, well, what's the difference here?
So
Apart from the fact, obviously, it was historic,
and
the girl only came forward in December.
So was it hush money, your belief? Don't worry about what Gillen said. What's the best? Your best knowledge of what this payment was to a Fremantle official?
Well, I imagine from someone to the alleged victim.
Yes.
Well, the person can't speak as a result of signing arrangement.
What's your best?
So would you call that hush money? Would
you
call it a settlement? You know, it's semantics, really.
So could it have been compensation? Because
it could be. That's the same thing.
I'm asking questions. So what happened? What happened if Sam Powell-Pepper paid the woman at the centre of the most recent scandal to say nothing? Would that have been appropriate?
I don't think it would have been. And
according to the AFL, no worries.
Well, so what's the difference between what happened with Sam Powell-Pepper or in that situation and this?
Well, we don't know precisely what happened in the other one, but I'll tell you this. This story is not going to go away and disappear like the AFL would like it to. So,
and we all know the AFL, in situations like this, Gil would have hated the fact he had to speak about it, but all they want to do is nothing. They want to minimise the target. I think, given such confusion, if Gil actually clarified exactly what had happened and what his policy was on it...
Maybe he can't because of the confidentiality aspect of it. But to me, it's the inconsistencies. Yeah. And, which integrity issue do you want me to go through where we've had concerns... People within footy have raised concerns about the way these things are resolved, from Essendon to Talia to Tanking to Whitfield, Essendon, West Coast. It goes on and on. But look, let's move on.
One last one.
Right.
Is Gil McLaughlin failing? You were asked that question on 3AW and you said yes, he was.
I now know how Brad Sewell felt with Matthew Lloyd, because I'm in the middle of a spiel and he asked me, is he failing? And I guess after what I was saying about all those
upon reflection, how is the AFL going?
I just think that in this space, they've been going horrific for a decade.
Yeah.
And the problem is, that Gillard report with the West Coast Eagles, one of his key recommendations was... You need an independent body to deal with these types of things. And it's never happened. Now, there's even a push for the federal government looking for a national sports integrity tribunal where a lot of this stuff will go. But, of course, the sport would have to agree with it. And why would they? We've got to move on, Ralph.
Can we talk about ugly football?
Let's go there. Sammy,
Sammy's itching to get it out.
We think it's pretty good, footy, but you're...
Round six with a stinker. The first five rounds, the lowest scoring since 1968, our champion data friends tell us. That would have dropped after the weekend. Just, like, under the roof today. Turnover after turnover. We saw on Friday night, Western Bulldogs and Carlton. They should never have been fixtured on a Friday night. Two very young teams, not up to it. I think the standard is a big concern. We're seeing a lot of players flood to one area of the ground. Should we look at zones? Do we need to... open up the ground? Do we need to look at something to
get
it?
Yeah, it's called the bloody interchange bench. We've been banging on about it for years. Just take it away and they'll fatigue and they'll spread.
Yeah. It was staggering. I was in a briefing with Stephen Hocking talking about AFL briefings, Mickey. And someone said, look, the interchange has come from 170 down to whatever it might is now,
what
90.
Is it? 90.
Yeah, so are you saying, Steve, that all of the benefits of that restricted interchange have been swallowed up? He said, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But why do we even have an interchange bench? You know, we came in because of injury. Guys like Kevin Sheedy and that said it went from 2 to 3 to 4, and then it became a tactic. And I think Blind Freddy can tell you that is the cause of our game. Don't bring in zones.
Mickey, what would you bring it back to?
10 a quarter maximum. Wow. Just see how it goes.
10 a quarter.
And you know, the problem is that the players and the players union don't want that because there's 4 jobs per team per week, basically, that's going to go. So you're talking about the look of the game. It's for 100 years... Of course it evolves and, you know, the press never was around. But if you make it harder to press, so the game will get prettier.
No, I agree. I think everyone says, well, the game, we've always had bad games and now they're all televised. I don't give a stuff what happened in the 80s. I understand that. The only thing we should care about is, can the game get better now? And I think the congestion and the pressure and all those things are ruining the high marking, the high scoring, all the things that we know and love. Mm. As Wayne Carey said, everyone said, oh, how good was the pressure in that Sydney Geelong game? We used to say, how good was that high mark? How good was that goal? That bloke kicked 8 goals.
And wouldn't you hate it if you had to be restricted to the forward 50 and it'd be like basketball and netball?
We've got to do something. We've got to do something.
But it's the bench.
What about 16 aside?
Staring them in the face.
Is that not
in the charter, Sammy. Do we all agree that rather than just saying there used to be great games back in the day and bad games, that we need to actually do something?
No doubt.
Can we do a little free agency and out of contract update? Oh. Why don't I throw a few names up, and if you have a line that you know, if you've got a bit of information, throw it in there. If not, say nothing. You happy with that?
Yeah, I like where you're going with
this. So Gold Coast, Tom Lynch. What's our best knowledge at round six on what will happen to Tom?
My best knowledge is watching that game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Is he worth $1.2 million? Or is he checked out? Is he injured?
Goalless, played poorly. Yeah, hasn't had an outstanding year. You know, beat up Carlton, but who doesn't beat up Carlton?
Not the first to be beaten by Daniel Talia. I reckon the Tigers are in this up to their eyeballs.
I agree.
They've got the money for him, and it'd be the perfect fit on every level. I think he's a massive chance to play in yellow and black next year.
Do you think he's worth 1.2?
Yeah, 1.2.
Yeah, you always pay more to get a bloke to your club. The salary cap's expanding.
Yeah.
There would be a few Tigers bemused by that, though, because I think a few took maybe 20, 30 grand less last year and told the cap was full. So it might surprise a few.
Just a little nugget there.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you think they'd be disappointed to see Tom?
Didn't say disappointed.
Is that the business of footy?
Didn't say disappointed. I said bemused.
It would be a great salary cap, though, with Dusty at 1.2. Lynch at 1.2. You think Rance and Cox
Rance underpaid at 800,000. Move on, Mick. Tom Lynch from Adelaide. What do you think's happened there? My understanding is that he wants a bit more money. They've offered him 556. He wants maybe 7, not 750. And so I think his management group's the same that had the contract done with Rory Laird. So they know exactly what Rory was on. Rory's a bit younger. I don't know. Is he worth 750 or whatever?
The suggestion is that Adelaide lowball at the start, and that this is how they get themselves into trouble. Now, I don't know if that's
I think Ru Rashudo is absolutely adamant that's not the case. But what they say is that we can't afford to play 10 blokes 750 grand. We pay a couple of absolute stars 750, 809, and we pay the rest of them 550, like Geelong did, like Hawthorn did. But so that'll drag on. I don't think he'll leave. I just think it'll drag on.
He's an important link man for them. He's important to the way they play. I think they've lost a steady stream of players, the Crows. Just pay him and keep him. You have to.
I like it. Andrew Gaff from West Coast?
I think that's up in the air. She's watching Essendon today. He'd be a good fit there.
Is he a Victorian kid?
He is. Q.
There's a few clubs like Essendon. They've got enough talent in. If they got pick 8... throw stacks at him. Of course, I'd have to get a player back.
Paul Roos said...
But I read they're more mature and they're ready to just give up picks for
Paul
players.
Paul Roos said today that Carlton should give up pick 1 for Dylan Shiel, end of the year.
No, I haven't got... I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Not in this year's draft.
Ooh. Who's the Max King type?
Well, Maxie's gone now. There's a couple of SA boys, I think, which will be a very, very hot property. I'll be keeping pick one or two this year.
So you probably feel like you're a chance to get a Nick Riewoldt-style player, don't you, at pick one this year. Jeremy McGovern, is he actually coming to Melbourne? Or is his management just calling the bluff of others?
I think other clubs think he's bluffing for the minute, trying to get that price up. I know Freo is sitting back and watching. They had a big go at Mitch McGovern last year. They thought they had him at one stage. I think they'll come again for Mitch and go at Jeremy, but probably bluffing at this stage.
There's no way either of those McGoverns move to Melbourne.
They're from Albany down there
and laid-back lads. They're not coming here.
Rory Sloane?
Ooh.
My bloke said
Saints would be keen for him, wouldn't they? But
yeah, then all of a sudden
right
they look in the window.
St Kilda?
My bloke at Adelaide said that they'd be absolutely flabbergasted if he left. He's always moved. He's always waited till about July to do his deal. So that's what they think. Ollie Wines is definitely going to stay. Just last one, Jordan Ngawi.
Interesting. Geez,
sign him up.
Speaking of dogs, dog act if you leave the Pies. They've given a little bit of support so far, haven't they?
Oh. I asked someone around the mark and I said, is there any loyalty in football? And they just laughed at me. So, and that's someone who's, I think
Dusty was loyal.
Well, his manager, Ben Noel, says he put a deal off till halfway through the year. Now, I think if he got 680 times two, he'd stay. If they lowballed him at 450, I reckon he'd look around. But he loves the club. He's doing all the right things. So, unless Collingwood lowballs him, I think he's definitely going
now,
to stay.
You said something astonishing before. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but is the MCG still the best football venue in Australia? Which is just a ludicrous. What could possibly beat the G where Jeremy Howe has a statue?
The fact that the grand final, yes, should have two. The fact that the grand final's there, the fact that Anzac's Day, they're amazing days. But just any day through the year, just watching that Fremantle-West Coast game with 60,000 there, it's a colosseum. It's extraordinary. It's chockable.
It's as hard as a
bitumen. It is as hard as concrete. You wouldn't want to fall on your head. But
if
it
you
is,
hit the fence, it'll cut you in half like a lacerator.
Yeah, yeah, all those things. Yeah, there'll be a few iron bolts that'll drop from the roof, sort of Olympic Stadium style. But I reckon right now the MCG is looking a bit tired. And it is in need of the refurb that it has just got through the extension of its MCG.
You sound like Eddie
Maguire,
you're pitching for more money.
No, I just look at those stadiums and I think to myself, if I had a bucket list moment, I'd go over to Opera Stadium right now. Sammy, what's your thoughts?
I'm pretty happy going to the G. We'd love to get over there. Yep. I think the G is number one, but it's a good talking point.
Match day reports very quickly, Mickey.
Don't know anything about them.
Keep them.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was there any today.
No.
It was Chris Scott. Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to? Yeah, keep them for mine. Umpires, it's
only
part of the job.
In major instances of an active thuggery.
Tom Bug stuff.
Report Tom Bug, but
a borderline hip and shoulder.
Red card
like
him
that.
If you want. Something that's debatable, they can pick it up on the cameras. It's a bit like how the goal review, which came in for Howlers, that cost premierships, is now become just a joke. Like the NRL of anger, I think we should be as angry. There was one today with Josh Caddy. How you could say that was touched.
It's become a plaything of the video review refs, hasn't it? To go, oh, look at me, I'm going to be on. You know. Steve Hockey said last week, 20 seconds, and if you're really unsure, get to 30 seconds. We waited for a minute and a half, and then they overturned something that there was no way they could overturn. Can I give you my boom player of the year?
Yes.
Zach Fisher from Carlton.
Ooh.
I went to that game. It was a tough old game. Cripps and Bontebelli were great. Kerno marked everything in sight, kicked it horribly. But this kid, Zach Fisher, you know, high 20s possessions. He was a second-round pick from the year before last. Oh, he's classy. He kicks it well.
So you're happy with Carlton? Are they?
Chris Judd said he'll become an inside midfielder, which surprised
me. I think
he almost
is now. No, he's in the centre square in the first bounce. Mm. I saw your story on that. No, I think he's a jet.
Are you a green shoots man?
Should we
keep the faith with the Blues?
Oh, I've lost all faith in the Blues.
Oh,
so were you like Roosie who just said, oh, basically you just pick up good players at the end of every year and get your list better? Because I reckon Carlton did that for 10 years, and look where it got them. I love the fact they're going for a long rebuild. It's just going to take a while.
There's no alternative, Ralphie.
No, the alternative is what they did before, and they were putrid.
I love Brenton Bolden on Friday night, though. He ditched the corporate speak and actually showed some emotion.
Yeah.
Gave some cold, hard figures on how many kids they were blooding year on, year on. Whether that's him feeling a pinch or just expressing himself, it was good to see him break out of that corporate speak.
No Bound by Blue, no green shoots, none of that stuff, no unison. He just said, we're really hurting. And I think the Carlton fans hurt with him, didn't they?
AFL made a great call on Friday. Don't say that very often, but the Twilight Grand Final saying, no, we're going to stick with 2:30. I was very pleased.
I just feel we're hanging on here. We'll be the same debate next year and the year after.
I should say
that.
10 years. Next TV contract or something like that. But
I feel like they should do it at some stage, probably late in the TV right, so they can get more money for the next one.
Seven said they'd never offered an extra brass razoo.
If they get it for free in the fifth year of the deal, and then we go back to a 230, and then the AFL might say, oh, guys, what do you think? But I know we've all talked about it because the punters care. But the AFL just needs to come out when the fixture comes out in November next year.
Yes.
Say it is a day grand final or a twilight grand final. We know it's 29 minutes. Don't keep people hanging on.
Question without notice. Who are the teams that can win the flag from here?
Oh, Ralphie?
Richmond and Crickets. Daylight. Tumbleweeds going through.
I'm going to say Richmond, GWS and Adelaide.
That's only three.
Yep.
Geelong can still win it. I know they've got real issues we haven't touched on here.
Their midfield, let's quickly touch on it. Why can't they win clearances with the best midfield in history, the Holy Trinity, even though one of them's not playing?
No Ruckman.
All right, boys, sensational week. We'll talk to you next week on the Super Footy Podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.